It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten. Laker Hockey Talk resuming after a week or so off. And Damon, you got to be a happy coach today. Last time we talked, the Lakers were kind of looking up in the standings and hoping for a miracle to get within reach of the playoffs. And hey, the miracle occurred. The Lakers win 4 in a row for the first time this season. All those games on the road, and as I listened to the games from Anchorage, and actually we watched most of Friday night's game on TV, stayed up pretty late to see that game, I kept thinking about what you talked about last time, Diego Cuglietta's little speech in the dressing room about, hey, boys, we got to win 4 of the next 6. That's what it'll take, minimum. And, hey, lo and behold, you win 4 out of 4. And not only that, your goaltending was spectacular. 3 goals allowed in the 4 games, 2 shutouts at Bemidji. This team's playing well right now.
Yeah, a lot of really positive things on what's a, you know, not an easy trip. You know, Bemidji alone, just to go out there is one of the more difficult trips, and a team that's always very good at home. And so that was a challenge in itself. Obviously, you said the goaltending on that weekend was spectacular. I shouldn't say spectacular, very solid. They didn't need to be spectacular. We played very well in front of them. I think, you know, through all this travel, part of what I've kind of thought about, or we've talked about a little bit, is coaching. Is what our decor looks like at this point. You know, we didn't have Steven Ruggiero the first half of the season. He got eligible just at Michigan Tech, and either the first or second game, he sustained a pretty serious upper body injury that he's played with and been limited there. You know, Colin Sockeman, Lucas Kybel have been out. They missed 2 months of the season starting at the Friday night at Denver, you know. And don't forget, we split Northern, split Michigan Tech, went and tied Denver when they were number one team in the country. And then we lose, you know, Sockeman and Kybel, who are two of our top 4D with Ruggiero in, you know, there's another one of our top 4 defensemen as well, or, you know, those guys are interchangeable in some ways, but, you know, those are important pieces of our team. And so, you know, we're finally kind of getting some continuity on our decor. And I think, you know, we've talked for weeks before going into Bemidji that we've been good defensively. We haven't given up a lot of great A's. We've outchanced teams and, you know, probably deserved more wins and more points. You know, you got to ultimately do it on the scoreboard. But I think our team has been this team for, a couple months now, and now it's great to get results, you know. So on top of that, great team defense, you know, with those guys, I think Will Rydell, Tyler Anderson have played really well. Our attention to detail defensively has been very good. Our lines haven't really changed a whole lot, and we've got real good chemistry right now among our top 9 for sure, but even our top 12. We've spotted one or two guys in, but now we're getting goaltending as well. You know, Nick Kossoff, Merrick Mittens have gotten in there. They look down the ice and they either matched Bitzer and Nat, or they outperformed them. Same thing with Mantha. And that's obviously the most important position in the game. So you add consistent solid goaltending in the way we've been playing, and I'm not surprised by the results, because I think we've been that close for a while. You know, maybe surprised go on that difficult road trip and win 4 straight, but really proud of the guys, the way they've stuck together and played, and we deserve those wins, and so it was nice to finally get that done.
Yeah, you got 2 more games. It's not this weekend, it's a week from this weekend. We go down to Ferris State to finish out the season, and I don't know, at this point we'll have to talk about it. Maybe you want me and Pat O'Neill to stay home. Rich said the other night, hey, I wasn't there either, maybe it's me. Yeah. But we were talking about what's going on here, but you know, I watched enough of that game on Friday night. I think you got a couple guys who are really helping right now fill some voids. I think Yuki Miura has made a real positive impact in your lineup, and Hampus Eriksson's become a really good player. He was outstanding in both those games. He probably should have had a goal each night.
Yeah, well, you hit a couple of key guys there, and I guess starting with Hampus, I mean, he's elevated his game. He's played extremely well. I think he's got just a great future here with us, and, you know, he's going to have a good summer, too. I mean, that's one thing as a freshman. Even though he's a little bit of an older freshman, you know, he's got some work to do off the ice, and that'll just really elevate his game. We get him a little bit leaner, a little bit quicker. It's going to be unbelievable what he brings to the program. But he played really well, and coupled with that was his line, the play of Anthony Nellis and Gage Terrell. I think Nellis has been just unbelievable lately, a whole different level. Very dominant when he's on the ice right now, and obviously both game winning goals, but played at a high level. But that line of Eriksson, Nellis, Terrell were very good. You mentioned Yuki Miura. To get get Yuki healthy. You know, he's a guy that we didn't think would go on the trip with us coming off the long-term injury. You know, if he hadn't played the Friday before we departed, or the Saturday, I'm sorry, I should say, you know, he probably wouldn't have come, because it was hard. It'd be hard to take a guy who hasn't played in, you know, all season and, you know, expect him to play four games on the road or whatever. But fortunately, he got cleared just before that. He's a really mentally tough kid. He had kind of made that date in his head to be back for the Saturday before departing, and he was able to play and, again, adds a really good element to that line. It's funny because he's playing with Humitz and Diego, and obviously we were on the road for four games, but that last Saturday home game and the four games, as much as we could match up Diego's line against the other team's top line, that's what we did. You don't control that a ton on the road, but you certainly keep an eye on their rotations, who you anticipate coming out, and you're able to maybe 60-70% of the time get your line out against their top line or your matchup as best as you can, and a little bit higher with your decor. But here we are, a kid who's never played a college game. You know, he's a freshman. He's probably only about 170 pounds. He's strong. He's not heavy, but he's strong. And he's out there with Diego and Hummer playing against the other team's top line on the road. And it says a ton about his hockey IQ. He's a guy that could have had 2-3 goals on the weekend as well. So I think that first one's coming. And so they're developing some chemistry, but a fast hockey player, smart hockey player, you know, they were very good together. And that leaves kind of our third line that, you know, played together both nights as Gelsinger, Hankey, and Jake Hand. I thought Jake Hand played at a really high level all week as well, and I think JT and Braden maybe weren't their best hockey, but JT sets up the game-winning goal Friday night, and you know, he finds ways to impact games whenever it's said and done. And so the last line ended up with Alex Ambrosio both nights, Brian Basilico played both nights, and then Aiden Wright got a game Friday night in Anchorage, and then Chase Gamlin played in. You know, Ryan Renz also traveled with us, didn't play. And I will say both for Chase and Ryan Renz, I expected them to play probably at least two of those games on the road trip with all the travel, things like that. But then all of a sudden you win two games in shutout fashion, you're probably not going to tinker a whole lot with lineups. And even same thing Saturday. You know, we thought Chase bringing some fresh legs in would be good. Ryan Renz would have been nice to get some fresh legs in, but I thought the decor, the pairings have been so good together that we didn't want to play with that a whole lot. And, you know, glad we didn't, because, again, it was a real strong performance by then. That was the best we needed. Our goaltending was that Saturday game. Brian Basilico scored to put us up 3-1. Mm-hmm. It got disallowed. I'm not sure it should have been, but, you know, it got disallowed. Kept it a one-goal game, and Anchorage made a really heavy push late Saturday in the last 5 or 6 minutes. And I thought Merrick Smittens made 3 or 4 just really huge, timely saves. And, you know, that was the best we needed our goaltending to be. The rest of the weekends, you know, those guys did what they needed to do, 2 or 3 big saves. Is very solid, but again, Nick Kosoff, Merrick Smittens, outstanding. You know, we gave up three goals in the last four games, and I think going back, it hasn't been a whole lot either. So that's what we have to be, and going into Ferris will be the same way.
Yeah, Ferris will be tough, and Ferris does have two games this weekend. They'll play two over at Minnesota State. We'll keep an eye on those scores. They're going to have to play awfully well to get a win at Minnesota State, because the Mavericks are trying to finish first. They're behind Northern Michigan right now, so they're looking for victories too. And it'll be a tough assignment for the Ferris State Bulldogs, but hey, they're a tough team at home. They're going to be a handful for Lake Superior, regardless of how well you might be playing. And you taking a weekend off, you never know about that. Sometimes it's better to go ahead and play because you got something going for yourselves. And I think right now, though, we need to rest more than anything else and to get ready to go to Ferris.
Well, I think if it wasn't the trips, the way they lined up, and just the difficulty of time changes and distance traveled and things like that, that, yeah, you're right. You'd want to keep going and playing off the energy and the positive momentum. But I think we'll be fine. I think because of the distance and the time change and things like that, you know, we gave the guys off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We had a light skate. We'll go hard today. It'll be our hardest day of the week. And then tomorrow we'll actually go out and do a team trip to the prison, skate out there a little bit, and you know, kind of use that as a bonding experience and to learn a little bit some life situations there, and then skate Saturday morning, and then next week we'll get back to a normal prep week heading into Ferris State.
Yeah, we should talk about that for just a second. You know, you've got a captive audience there, no pun intended, but some of the best fans we've got for radio games are at that prison, and over the years the team's gone out there and played almost every season and just had a little shinny game outside with them and got to talk to them about their experiences and bring some of the Laker experiences, and it creates a fan base. Those guys then follow this team very closely, and I hear from guys who are incarcerated out there who are big Laker hockey fans.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible experience, you know, just to you know, what they have to look forward to by our team visiting. I think it means so much to them, and I think also from the guard perspective or the administration perspective, you know, it's nice for them that they have something to reward, you know, some of the inmates out there looking forward to it. But the prisoners, you know, again, when our guys get out there, they're so thankful, so appreciative that we'd come out there and spend that time. You know, we get to hear some of the, you know, life lessons about why some of those guys are in there. Just, you know, one stupid decision, you know, one bad night, you know, and some of the guys are maybe different than that. But, you know, it's really an eye-opener, and our guys have really enjoyed it over the years, and just the different emotions that play into going out there. It's a real emotional day, and, you know, just a real eye-opening experience there. And like you said, those prisoners and the guards out there are huge Laker hockey fans, so it's nice to kind of interact with them and, you know, give them a little bit of a hope through tough times in their lives. And so our guys will enjoy it and, you know, get to do that. And like I said, then we'll just move on real quick Saturday morning, have a real spirited practice, and we're right into game prep for that final WCHA weekend.
You know, the Laker hockey show on Tuesday night, you were not there. You were out west. We'll talk about that here in the second half of our show this morning. But we did have Anthony Nellis and Max Humitz join us in the first half of the show. They did a great job. And that's two guys who have had good years, regardless of how well the team's done overall. You got 12 goals right now out of Anthony Nellis, best season he's had as a Laker, and he's got one to go. And Max Humitz, just a sophomore, 13 goals. That matches last year's production, but 26 goals out of a sophomore in his career, that's pretty darn good. And he's not a big player, but he's a very, very good hockey player.
Yeah, he's been a tremendous impact from the day he stepped on campus as a freshman a year ago. And, you know, like you said, he doesn't do it with size and you know, strength. It's more with quickness and intelligence. You know, very, very intelligent around the offensive net to find little soft spots to get open. You know, certainly the chemistry he has with JT Hanke and the power play is a big piece of that as well. Probably more so last year than this year, but he does a lot of it 5-on-5 this year. But he's been a big impact. And, you know, Anthony Nellis, like you said, has been maybe a sneaky good year for him in some ways until probably the last month or so, where I think he's just totally elevated his game. Looks like a different player, and, you know, really excited to see him finish the season the way he has this year and what he has to give next year for the program. And, you know, it's funny that, you know, it has been a difficult year. Obviously, the last couple weekends have been very positive for us, but I think we're only a game or two off last year's pace. And when you take out, you know, 4 to 5 guys that we thought would be in the lineup, impact guys like Mitch Holtz, Crispin Doulis, you know, Morgan Hedrick, you know, it's, you know, we're not far off where we were a year ago. It doesn't really feel like that. I think it's been, you know, certainly a year where the expectations were elevated from within, and a year we thought we could take a bigger step. And then some of those departures probably hurt us in a lot of ways and, you know, led to a bad start. And then again, when you look at our decor without Ruggiero, without Kaibel Sockerman for 2 months, I mean, I don't care what team you are, if you take out 2 of your best defensemen or 3 of your best defensemen, you're going to go through challenges and hard times. So it's good to see us finishing the way we're finishing. Again, I thought we could have some wins against Northern and Bemidji the first go-round at home, and it feels probably quite a bit different there. But we put ourselves in a position to battle, and you know, we're going to finish strong and get away into the playoff there.
All righty. The team's off this weekend. They will go down to Ferris State about a week and a half from now and get ready to play against the Bulldogs, and we'll have those games for you on Yes FM. We're going to take a break on our Laker Hockey Talk this morning. We'll be right back with the second half after this on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success in 2017-18.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Well, welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten. And Damon, let's talk a little bit about it's kind of been a whirlwind for you. Very difficult even to get in and do this show today because you just got back from British Columbia. You go on the road, 10, 12 days ago out to Bemidji and then stay in Minnesota and then fly up to Anchorage and you win four games. And then you go do some recruiting work. Both you and Mike York were in British Columbia.
Yeah, and Rich was out before that. Rich traveled with us to Bemidji and then, caught some games there as well. So really a productive trip in a lot of ways. Obviously, anytime you go 4-0 on a tough road trip like that, you got to feel pretty good about it. I'm not sure my body feels very good right now. I think I went through six states, 4-hour time change to Alaska, 3 hours in BC, two red-eye flights, and, now back home and trying to move past that. But, really productive. Mike and I haven't got a chance to watch many games together. We only got one on this trip, but to wrap up our trip on Monday, we were able to watch a game together and just kind of, go over some of the things in more detail, the way we approach recruiting and building relationships with coaches and recruits, things like that. So it was a productive day that way as well. Rich had a real productive trip to start the trip off as well, which led to a verbal commitment for the program for next year. And again, still trying to finalize some pieces in a couple areas for next year potentially, but always looking at the future as well. So it was good. It was productive. It was long for sure. And, a challenging trip that way. I thought the way it went logistically with some of the way we were able to break up the trip, departure from Bemidji, getting up to Anchorage a little bit earlier than is typical. And we had a chance to spend time with Gage Terrell's extended family. His aunt and uncle had us out to Eagle River, Alaska, just north of Anchorage for a dinner Wednesday night. What was a real highlight of the trip, a great family, the Terrells. And, it was really nice the way that laid out. They had a great setup for it as well where, ping pong, foosball, they had a really great setup there for the guys to kind of get away from it all and just kind of bond a little bit and have some fun. So, a lot of things. It was a real productive trip in so many areas, but highlighted certainly by the 4-0 wins.
Yeah, and it's difficult now, too. We've talked before about what the needs are for next year, et cetera, and that's kind of an evolving thing right now. I think, it looks to me like we're going to be pretty solid on D, and you might bring in one player there, but you are losing three defensemen, but you've got some really good young guys who are playing very well right now. Our goaltending's looked really good the last four to eight games, really. They played pretty well, and I guess the big need right now in my mind would be, as a guy who watches this team play, is maybe more offensive production, but it's awfully tough to find goal scorers. Everybody's looking for a goal scorer.
Yeah, well, you had a couple areas, like you said, obviously, Roman Banger, we'll be eligible next year, so we'll have Roman added into the mix with Nick and Merrick's anticipating both those guys being back. And, as you said, it's great to see them playing. We've seen glimpses of Nick even as a freshman with the shutouts, Denver and then this year as well. So we know he's capable of playing, but, we've got to get consistency out of that position. Same thing with Merrick's, comes in very decorated, the all-time shutout leader in the North American Hockey League and World Junior. And played in big environments, big games, and so those guys have both taken a good step here lately, and that's going to be critical that they continue to play that way and continue to elevate their game. The back end, as you mentioned, we lose three guys. They haven't probably two of them in any case haven't played a lot. Even Aiden Wright's made the switch up front, but he was brought in as a defenseman, played most of his career as a defenseman. But we're really young back there when you look at it. We play three freshman defensemen almost every single night, two sophomore defensemen every single night. So it's a really young makeup of that D-Cor, and we anticipate those guys being back. Matt McArdle's been out with an injury, and we've missed Matt. Those guys have done a really good job in his place, but... The majority of our D-Cor returns and their experience, they're talented. We've got a couple guys that have been committed for a while that we'll see if they come in next year, if they get another little bit more seasoning down the road. And even with that, we probably need to bring in a guy because we're, again, losing three. It gets us down to, I think, six or seven defensemen, and you have an injury or two, you're a little bit light back there. So we've got to kind of finish that position and look at what we're going to do there. And up front, again, we don't have a lot of room either. JT Hankey's the sole senior. We've had some attrition with Josh Nenendahl, CJ Hayes with in-season departures. But it is a group that we want to improve our depth for sure. And as you mentioned, get a little bit more consistent offense. We expect Gage Terrell to get back next year to his sophomore year level. I think he had 24, 28 points, something like that. And he won't hit that this year, but we have guys that will jump up. Jake Hand continues to play better and better, and we'll need a big step up him into senior year as well. But we will. We'll have some guys coming in that are leading scorers on their teams and their leagues. you know, a couple of guys out east there that are having great years and they're top five in scoring in the league. And, you know, one's, I think, second in goals and, you know, they're good players. And so we'll have improved talent, improved depth, and it's going to be a really competitive position because, again, we only lose JT Hankey really out of the playing group, you know, and, you know, we want to be better there and we can't get caught off guard if we do have some departures. I think right now there's nothing we anticipate, but it's early and we'll see what happens over the next, you know, month or two as our season wraps up and pro hockey looms and, you know, guys with the roles on the team, what that looks like and how that shakes out.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen anymore. The NHL and the pro people in general, they're only too happy to sign a kid to a, you know, $100,000 contract or something and take a shot at him, put him in the East Coast Hockey League and see if he develops, a la Chris Bindulis. But so you don't know for sure what's going on there, and you won't know for a while yet. But I think this team looks pretty good going into next year. They're coming around at the right time. I sensed from talking to Nellis and Humitz on a Monday or on Tuesday rather that there's a kind of a rejuvenation right now. These guys feel they want to go to practice. They want to play. They really are into it right now. Not that they weren't anyway, but when you win some games, that gives you a real impetus right there.
Well, the magic potion, you know, it's tough when you're not winning consistently and, you know, it's hard, you know, like you said, not that they didn't want to. I thought we had a really good approach through it all, the show up and compete every day at practice. But, you know, there's a fragileness to the group when that happens. And right now with that gone is a time to really jump on them and push them harder and drive things even deeper. So, no, there's an excitement level there. And, you know, we have goals ahead of us, you know, and we're going to scoreboard watch a little bit this weekend, as you kind of mentioned there. But, you know, the only one thing we can control is our work ethic day to day as we approach that, you know, a week out Friday and be ready to go down to Big Rapids and play and compete and get ourselves in the playoffs. So, yeah, the guys are excited about it and, you know, ready to play. And we've got some really good things going on with this team right now.
Yeah, right now you've won four in a row, all on the road. You get two more on the road. You're 1 point out of eighth place, which would be the final playoff spot. You're only a couple of points out of seventh place. You're 3 or 4 points out of sixth place. And it all depends on what happens here. Now, Fairbanks, the University of Alaska, that is, they've got probably the best role right now because they play two at Bemidji this coming weekend, and that won't be easy. But then they go home and they play against Anchorage, a team that they've dominated when they have played them this season. So they're likely to pick up some points there. Ferris State's got a tough role going to Minnesota State. We just talked about that. And then Huntsville, they've got no easy task. They got to play Bowling Green two games at Huntsville. They finished the season playing all their games in February at home, but all against good teams, and they've had, I think, one win in five games at home so far. So it's up for grabs right now, and the Lakers are going to have to get the job done at Ferris State.
Exactly. I mean, you know, ultimately, we will have, I think, a say in our own destiny there with that, because I don't see Ferris going in and be able to sweep at Mankato with, you know, again, Mankato's playing for first place. They'll be prepared and ready to play, and, you know, that's not an easy trip. I'm not sure their arrangements, if they're flying out of Chicago or busing or how they're doing that. My guess is there'd be a flight involved this late in the season and with what's on the line there. But, you know, they'll have to deal with some of that travel coming off a good team, and we'll be ready to play. You know, we're a better team than when we saw them a while back, even though I thought we outplayed them and, you know, probably, you know, should have had more points coming out of that weekend. But we're playing right now. We're a difficult team to play against, the way our decor is playing, the way our goaltending is playing. You know, we've talked about that for a long time. You know, we're going to have to give up, you know, 1-0 goals, 2 goals to be successful. And, you know, I think our freshman D have made a good adjustment. They're no longer freshmen. Rogerio in, Sockerman nearly healthy, you know, Steven nearly healthy, even Lucas nearly healthy after a long injury and a long time out. So much different feel to our team right now, and we're excited about it, and we're going to get this thing done here and, you know, work hard these few days as we prep and, you know, get ready for that.
Well, it's going to be interesting, and again, the Lakers are going to go out to Kinross Correctional Facility and practice on Friday afternoon. Next week, you'll get real serious about things, I would think, Damon, and when we talk on the Laker Hockey Show on Tuesday, we'll get into some of the details of playing against Ferris State at Ferris, not the least of which is the facility in which they play. It can be a test in itself, but we'll talk about that next week. It's been a great four hockey games. Congratulations on that, and hey, good luck here down the final week of the regular season.
Yeah, well, it's great to be home after all the travel. It feels good to be sitting in the studio with you, and, you know, back in the studio. here for at least a little bit of time as we prep and head down there. So I appreciate everybody tuning in. We got a lot of people reaching out and, you know, looking for those results. So we appreciate the support and glad we could perk everybody up back home, and we're ready to keep going here. So thank you, Bill.
All righty. Damon Whitten, Bill Crawford. That's another Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.